There we go. All right, everyone, I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the January 5th, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. And if you are not muted, please mute yourself so that there's no disruption to the hearing. Thank you very much. My name is Andy Kotkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include conditional use permits and administrative appeals. I consider any testimony presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. Now, although the hearing process has certain rules, I still try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a process we're going to use. First of all, for each item, staff will present its report and make whatever recommendations that they wish to make. Then the applicant or the appellant will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The appellant does have the burden of proof to show that the administrative decision was in error, and the applicants have the burden of proof to show compliance with all the applicable rules and regulations. Now, for the two conditional use permits that are on the agenda for today, after the applicant's testimony, I'll then turn that over to the public for their testimony. And then I'll return this back to the applicant to see if there's any additional rebuttal testimony that the applicant wishes to make. Now, for the administrative appeals, now these are matters that are between the county and the appellant. So there's no public testimony for the administrative appeals. I want you to be clear of that. You're certainly welcome to stay and view the proceedings, and the appellant can call whatever witnesses that the appellant wishes to call, but this is not a time for general public testimony. I just want you to be aware of that. And the appellant with the burden of proof will also get the last opportunity to present whatever testimony and evidence that the appellant wishes to make. Now, if you are going to testify, I'm going to have you state your name and address. If you're going to give evidence, I'll swear you in as a witness. I'd ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the application that we're talking about and not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. And if you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, you may do so. Now, I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. Except as provided by the Chelan County rules of procedure regarding requests for reconsideration or requests to reopen a hearing, my decision on each of these matters will be final and conclusive. The only exception is that they can be appealed. Appeals on all these matters would be by means of what's called a land use petition action. They have to be filed with Chelan County Superior Court within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision, and if the appeal is not timely filed, the appeal would be barred. The bottom line is that if you're considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you should seek immediate legal advice. I've reviewed all the items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And then outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all the attachments to the staff report, which included all the application materials, all the agency comments, public comments, noticing documents for the appeal, the notice of violation and the appeal documents, other than receiving and reviewing essentially the entire planning staff file for each item, I haven't had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as a hearing examiner, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we're going to turn to the agenda. Actually, we're going to do two things before we get into the agenda. Two of the matters have had a request for continuance, and the county does not object to those continuances. So I'm going to continue those matters now in case somebody came to listen to the hearing. I see there's quite a few people here today. Either of these two matters, then I don't want to delay in having you get on with your day. So the first one is file number AA21-509, and this was an administrative appeal that had been submitted regarding an administrative decision by Chelan County. The appeal was by David R. Newman. Mr. Newman has requested a continuance to January 19th, 2022 at 1 p.m. And I understand staff doesn't have any objection to that. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so I'm doing this on the record. So AA 21-509, the administrative appeal by Mr. Newman has been continued to January 19, 2022 at 1 p.m. The other item was an administrative appeal given application number or file number AA 21-575. This was an appeal that had been submitted on an administrative decision by an Aaron Bernstein and his attorney, Julie Norton. There's been a request for a continuance of this matter to February 22nd, 2022 at 9 a.m. And staff, am I correct? And staff does not have an objection to that as well?
We do not have any objections to that.
All right, so AA 21-575 will be continued to February 22nd, 2022 at the regularly scheduled 9 a.m. hearing.
Andy, hey, Andy, real quick, for that last one, was it continuance to February 2nd, or was it to the second hearing examiner date in February?
You tell me. I wrote down the 22nd based upon an email, but I probably wrote an extra 22 just because I'm not used to writing 22 all the time now. So Ms. Riles, if you're here, what date was the agreed date?
I had February 2nd written down, but I can verify that for you with Wendy.
It's the second.
No, I'll look. I believe it must be the second, because as I'm looking at my calendar here, there is no February 22nd is a Tuesday. So AA 21-575 is continued until February 2nd, 2022 at 9 a.m., the regularly scheduled hearing examiner meeting. Okay, so we'll turn to now the first action item on today's agenda. This is a conditional use permit application, given application number 21-153. This is an application for a conditional use permit that's been submitted by David Yonica for the construction of a 13-space minor recreational vehicle park / campground to be located on property within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, I will admit into the record at this time by this reference, the staff report, all the application materials, all the comments that have come through, the noticing documents and the SEPA documents, I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I'll admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference, and I'll turn this matter over to Mr. White for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Andy. So this, as you mentioned, is an application for a conditional use permit for a 13-space RV park at 47 Lurling in Wenatchee. The property is within the rural residential 5RR5 zoning district. So it is an allowed use through a conditional use permit. So prior to development of the internal roadway, the applicant will need to coordinate and obtain approval from the PUD to ensure that the existing PUD infrastructure within the transmission line easements are protected. And then they would also need to coordinate with the PUD to determine the proper location of the septic system and the drain field to ensure that the existing infrastructure is not affected as well. So Public Works is requiring dedication of right-of-way as well as improving a segment of Lure Lane fronting the property, and the internal roadway must meet the RV park road and access road standards. Per conditions of approval, the applicant will need to provide an updated road plan and circulation plan to Public Works and Community Development for approval prior to construction of the road. In addition, the applicant will need to submit a drainage report and plan to Public Works, and if required, obtain an NPDES stormwater permit from the Department of Ecology. Per comments from the Department of Ecology, the applicant will need to test the soil to determine whether it has high lead, arsenic, or pesticide levels. And if it does, then they will need to remediate the soil to bring it into compliance with MTCA requirements. DAP, the Department of Archaeological and Historic Preservation, has determined that the subject property is located in an area that has high potential for cultural resources. So they are requesting that a cultural survey be performed, and the findings of that study need to be sent to both DAP and community development prior to construction of the internal roadway. And then the couple of the standards that we've usually applied to RV parks, such as no RV can be located on the site for any period longer than 90 days, and no skirting is allowed. Other than that, staff has reviewed the application materials, the agency comments for consistency with applicable codes and regulations, and there's condition recommends approval of conditional use permit 2021-153.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. White. As I reviewed the proposed conditions of approval, it appeared that staff indicated that the cultural resource study had already been prepared and submitted. Is that your understanding as well?
9.1. I did not have one on file, so that must have been an error on my part when preparing the staff report.
Okay, so proposed condition of approval 9.1 should be stricken.
No, 9.1 can stay in there. It just says if they contact DAP and say, you know, we're only putting in a roadway here, we don't think that cultural resource study is required. DAP may reconsider, and if DAP reconsiders and says that, you know, they're fine with an inadvertent discovery plan instead, they would just need to submit that to the county. So I would keep 9.1 in there.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. White. We'll turn this over to the applicant. Is the applicant ready to proceed? Or the applicant's agent?
Brian, you're still on mute. I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
I'll talk directly into the screen instead of away from it.
All right. Can you state your name and an address for me?
Brian Baker, Leavenworth, Washington, 894 Highway 2, Suite 8.
Yeah, you're going to have to move closer to the microphone or something because it is very hard to hear you.
Okay. Brian Baker, 894 Highway 2, Leavenworth, Washington, Suite 8.
All right. You're fading in and out. I don't know what the issue might be. I'll turn my volume all the way up. So hopefully that'll help. So Mr. Baker, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me, okay? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. So, sir, are you here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the property owner today? Is that correct? All right, sir. And what would you like to tell me about this process, about this project?
Well, the project's actually going to reduce some of the traffic awareness or problems that the lady across the street has in one of the letters. There's a bus stop near the area, and she's concerned about traffic flow. But since the cherry orchard's been torn out, there's no longer any more maintenance to that cherry orchard. There won't be 100 people in here picking it during picking season. Pruning season, spraying season's going away. So all that's been removed. So I think her concerns over traffic is actually going to be more minimal than it is going to be an impact. That was the one concern that we've seen that was addressed in a letter.
Well, of course, the applicant has the burden of proof to show compliance with the applicable rules and regulations. So I'll ask, do you agree with all the representations set forth within the staff report?
Yes.
And do you have any objection to any of the proposed conditions of approval? Who's identified as Jenny, could you please mute yourself? We can hear your child. Thank you. All right, Mr. Baker, do you have any objection to any of the proposed conditions of approval?
No, the one condition that Alex said, and I want to clarify, did they say improvements on Easy Street? We thought he said there were improvements on Easy Street, and we were supposed to do improvements on Liver Lane, which has been partially done or done.
Yeah, there is a proposed condition of approval that the applicant is required to dedicate additional right-of-way on Easy Street, 30 feet from the center line, if it's not already done.
Right, okay. No, that's fine. They were talking about road improvements, not a dedication of easement. That's fine. That's already been discussed. The conditions, I believe, are clients fully aware of them and willing to go through it.
All right, I think I got all that. All right, is there anything else the applicant would like to present?
Not at this time.
All right, thank you very much. I'll now turn this matter over to the public. Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter? If so, you can unmute yourself and identify yourself for the record. All right, one last chance. Did anybody here in the public come to testify on this matter? All right, hearing none, we'll turn this over to staff. Is there anything further from staff?
Nothing further.
All right, then Mr. Baker, you can let your client know that what I'm going to do is I've closed the public record portion of this hearing and I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days, okay? We will turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is a conditional use permit application 21-443. This is an application for a conditional use permit for a 480 square foot accessory structure with a 900 square foot accessory dwelling unit as permitted by the City of Chelan Municipal Code. This relates to property located within the City of Chelan urban growth area, but it's within Chelan County, on property that's more specifically described in the staff report as well as in all the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all those attachments to the staff report, which included all of the application materials, all the noticing documents that have come through, there are SEPA documents, comments, as I've indicated, I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference, and again, turn this matter over to Mr. White for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Andy. Just for clarification, this project is actually located in the city of within the urban growth area of the city of Cashmere.
Oh, did I say Chelan? I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes.
Yep. Okay. It's a city of Cashmere. Thank you.
So this is an application for construction of a new detached garage with an accessory dwelling unit. The proposed garage will be approximately 480 square feet, and the proposed ADU would be about 900 square feet. The ADU would include two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and a kitchen. The subject property is currently undeveloped and it is within the suburban residential zoning district of the city of Cashmere, UGA. They do have a building permit that was approved for a main residence. I don't know if that's under construction yet or not. Access to the property is from Viola Lane. Potable water will be provided from an existing private well, and the proposed ADU will utilize an on-site septic system. Staff is requiring that a notice of title be recorded prior to the building permit issuance, stating that the property owner will either occupy the primary residence or the ADU. Staff has reviewed the application materials, the agency comments for consistency with applicable codes and regulations, and this condition recommends approval of CUP 2021-443. And also just an FYI, Andy, the staff report was revised because we did have the fire marshal comment in there about needing sprinklers throughout the structure, but per revised comments from the fire marshal, that is no longer required. So there are no fire provision requirements as a condition of approval.
All right, thank you very much. Anything else from staff?
Nothing further.
Okay, thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
Yes.
All right, who's gonna be testifying today?
I can, Casey Dundas, the landowner.
All right, Mr. Dundas, would you raise your right hand for me? And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And again, you indicated that you and I presume your wife are the property owners and applicant today, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And sir, what would you like to tell me about this project?
It's actually a two bedroom, one bath. It's just an ADU and it's for family members.
Okay, but the 900 square feet is still correct?
Yes.
All right, thank you. What else would you like to tell me about the project?
That's about it.
Well, have you had a chance to review the staff report that Mr. White prepared?
We did, yes.
And do you have any, first of all, do you agree with all the representations set forth within the staff report?
We do, yeah. Everything should be correct. We submitted and they submitted back to us.
All right, and do you agree with all the proposed conditions of approval as revised with the removal of the fire marshal's requirements?
Yes.
All right.
Yep, it's a detached ADU separate from the home. We have a home already built and it's next to it. It's detached, it's not attached, and it's not two-story. There was some discrepancy early on the submittal.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it.
All right, thank you very much for coming in today.
Yep.
Turn this matter over to the public. Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter? If so, you just need to unmute yourself and state your name and an address. All right, hearing none. Staff, is there anything else from staff on this matter?
Nothing further.
All right, then, Mr. and Mrs. Dundas, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the public record portion of this hearing, and I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. All right? You're welcome. The last item on today's agenda is an administrative appeal. This is given application number AA21-568. This is a request for an appeal submitted to appeal the denial of a short-term rental permit as an existing non-conforming short-term rental. This relates to property located within Chelan County. It is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Let me get this up here real quick.
It's 568.
So 568, this is again, the application is, or the appeal has been by Tom Latta, whose agent is Matthew Hitchcock of the Gatens, Green, and Weidebach law firm. So with that, we'll turn this over to, generally it would go just to staff, Ms. Riles, for a brief introduction, then we'll have the applicants or the appellants argument, and then you can provide any additional information that you'd like to, and then the appellant will get the last opportunity to present testimony and evidence. So is there an introduction you'd like to provide, Ms. Riles?
So my name is Kirsten Riles. I am the program manager for short-term rentals for Chelan County. The property in question is at 9680 Dye Road in Leavenworth, owned by Mr. Latta. The application for his existing non-conforming short-term rental was submitted by his property manager, Dave Cherpy, on 11/26. Due to the code, it is in the urban growth area of Leavenworth. So there is a provision in the code that any property lying within urban growth areas will go through a joint review of the city in question. And in this case, it was Leavenworth. So it was submitted to Leavenworth on November 26, 2021 for joint review. And the answer was, the response was received by me on November 29th. And the city showed one, no record of the short-term rental in the UGA. And it was further noted that the home was built in 2002 and would not have been allowed prior to the city regulations, which became effective in 1989. And so November 29th, I also sent a letter to the applicant notifying him of his denial. And then we received his appeal on December 13th.
Okay, thank you for that background. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Yes, Mr. Kotkamp. Good morning.
Good morning. Matt Hitchcock,
on behalf of the appellant, tell me. Just as an initial matter, I believe we sent you and Ms. Lane copies of a supplemental declaration from Mr. Latta this morning. I'd like to make sure that you received that and that documentation is included in the record.
That was received by me at 9:02 this morning. So I just am checking my email right now. So I've not reviewed it, obviously, but that is has been received, and I will add that to the record.
And I, Mr. Scott Camp, I anticipate that Mr. Latta will be sworn in and testify, and he intends to walk you through the factual background in greater detail than I can provide. So we will include coverage of the documentation in the supplemental declaration with your permission when he speaks. But you know, just as a from the legal perspective, the county's position is that Mr. Latta's short-term rental use was not legal when it began, actually under the prior owners in 2004, and then continued when he purchased the property in 2005. And that's because the county says that it was a transient accommodation that was prohibited under the Leavenworth Municipal Code in the RL12 zone. However, the city of Leavenworth updated its short-term rental bed and breakfast regulations in 2017 due to concern by the city that the existing regulations governing uses like bed and breakfast, short-term rentals, and other transient accommodations were not clear and potentially unenforceable. And Your Honor, in order for Mr. Latta to establish that his short-term rental use was in fact a legal non-conforming use, he must establish that it began before an enforceable zoning ordinance was adopted that was regulating short-term rentals. He must also the second element is he must establish that the use was lawful when it started and that he did not abandon it and that it was continuous from the time he started until today. And the citation for that quote of the law is a case called Jefferson County versus Lakeside Industries, 106 Wash App 380. And in this case, the city amended its short-term regulations in January 2017 because the code was confusing and contradictory. Specifically, the definition for transient accommodations prior to 2017, as well as the definition for bed and breakfasts prior to 2017, both covered Mr. Latta's short-term rental use. Potentially, he could have operated as a bed and breakfast. And in fact, his property manager, Destination Leavenworth, operated his short-term rental under what it thought was the legal process available to them through permitting with the city. Now, Mr. Latta's name wasn't on those permits, but at that time, due to an agreement between the county, the Chelan County and the city of Leavenworth from 1997, Chelan County was had the sole authority to enforce the city's zoning regulations within its urban growth area. But as is obvious, the county short-term rental regulations were not adopted until last summer, I guess September 27, 2021. And Mr. Latta's use as a short-term rental predates not only the county's regulations, but also the City of Leavenworth's 2017 amendments. And it dates all the way back to 2005. And had Mr. Latta wanted to, and in fact, he did inquire with both the city and the county about how he could register or you know, go through a process to ensure his short-term rental use was legal. There was no process available to him at that time. The city would not accept or grant a conditional use permit to him for operating a short-term rental because his property is located in a county area and in county area of enforcement. But the county also similarly lacked any process to recognize or acknowledge his short-term rental use before it adopted its new short-term rental regulations. And as such, you know, this case is directly comparable to that case I cited earlier, Jefferson County versus Lakeside. Because in that case, Mr. Kotkamp, the county zoning code, Jefferson County zoning code, was incomplete and unenforceable. And the Court of Appeals held that because it was incomplete and unenforceable, because it failed to put landowners on notice, or landowners were unable to ascertain what use was allowed or what use was prohibited, the Court of Appeals held that the use was legal because the zoning code was unenforceable. And in this case, it's similar situation. Mr. Latta's use pre-exists the 2017 amendments. It pre-exists the county short-term regulations. And it was arguably permissible as a bed and breakfast, if not a transient accommodation, under the City of Leavenworth's code prior to 2017, which was in effect at the time that he began his use. And with that, Mr. Kotkamp, unless you have specific questions for me, Mr. Latta will, I think now's a good time to swear him in and talk about the factual background.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that in just a second. I just want to confirm. So has Mr. Latta ever received any kind of a permit granting him permission to use his property as either a short-term rental or a bed and breakfast?
He has not received a specific permit. However, he'll detail the events, but in 2017, there was a complaint filed by a neighbor about his short-term rental use, and representatives from Chelan County's Code Enforcement Department, Andrew Heelan was one of them. They visited his property, and Mr. Latta worked with them, as he'll explain momentarily, and continued to operate his short-term rental with their tacit approval because the county lacked any way to formally grant his register his short-term rental use.
Okay, so you wanna call a witness?
Yes, I call Tom Latta.
All right, Mr. Latta, would you state your name and an address for me for the record?
My name is Tom Latta. My address is 4603 South 376th Street, and that is Auburn, Washington.
All right, I'll have you raise your right hand for me. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. And I don't have a problem, Mr. Hitchcock, if you want to do question and answer or if you want to do just a narrative, either way is fine with me.
I think we'll try to stick to a narrative for Mr. Latta. He can just start with the beginning of his story with the property and continue on as relevant.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. My wife at the time, we had several rental properties already in our possession, and we were looking to expand. We were looking to diversify into a recreational area, and that's why we chose Leavenworth. We purchased this property in 2005 from the existing owner, which had been using it as a short-term rental property. So we bought the property. We continued on with the same management company, which was Destination Leavenworth, and they're located in Leavenworth proper, and signed a contract with them for management of the property and other facilities. In that contract, Destination Leavenworth would be responsible for making sure that business license, all those administrative things were proper and upheld. They were responsible also for paying any and all taxes, both state, county, lodging tax, that were required to operate a rental property either within the city of Leavenworth or the county of Chelan. That's one of the reasons why we chose them, because they were familiar with what was necessary. Basically have had continuous operation from that time till present, always using Destination Leavenworth. Destination Leavenworth, we amended our contract in 2009, just upgrade, you know, because things had changed and so forth. And they had, you know, just could continue paying the, you know, taxes and lodging fees and so forth appropriately on, you know, renting out the property. Continuing on. So when the city of Leavenworth started reorganizing or reviewing its short-term rental and lodging ordinance, that was in 2015, 2016, before it was approved, I actually went to the city of Leavenworth public hearing and gave public testimony on behalf of the short-term rental that I owned, even though it was in the county. You know, my property manager was in the city of Leavenworth operating under his. So I gave public testimony at that time, identifying myself and my property. So in that regards, you know, there's that record. Then in 2017, there was a complaint filed with the Chelan County that I was operating the short-term rental. But it was not until 2019 that the county took any action, sent me a letter stating that another complaint had been filed and said that I had put up a sign that was in violation of the city of Leavenworth's sign code, and worked on that. Also, there was a discrepancy about how many bedrooms I had in the house, and that was basically my property manager calling a den office area a bedroom rather than, you know, it being the den office, it's not a bedroom. So we updated and corrected all of the website material and all of that material to clearly reflect the fact that the property is a three-bedroom home with three bathrooms. And, you know, that as far as the sign ordinance goes, the county basically, you know, working with the code enforcement officer, he looked it over and said, well, that's not really what your sign is, okay, because it had my address. It was clearly to identify the property more so than to identify a short-term rental. It was kind of, you know, I put new numbers and so forth, both on the house and on this sign, which is out on the street. Moving forward, I, at that time, also approached the city of Leavenworth, city clerk, to try and find out if there was something else that I should be doing to be in compliance with any city code. Had a conference with my property manager, Daniel Eby. And, you know, at that time, there was nothing that the city could provide me as far as a license or application. The fact that I was working with Destination Leavenworth and using their business license to operate was seemed to be sufficient. And moving forward, you know, to today, the county code, you know, I submitted all the applications, all the paperwork through my property manager to try and be in compliance with the new short-term rental requirements. And here we are.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Hitchcock?
I think just to reiterate, Mr. Latta has made every attempt to operate his business, short-term rental business, under compliance with the law. He's been operating his short-term rental business for over 15 years, and during that time, he has documented attempts to comply, and his failure to comply with the city of Leavenworth's code is due to the city of Leavenworth lacking a process for him to do so. Based on that, we simply request that the county staff's denial of his short-term rental application be reversed and he be granted a legal pre-existing non-conforming short-term rental use status.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I'll turn this back over to the county. If the county has anything you want to add, and then we'll give the appellant an opportunity for any rebuttal. So Ms. Riles, is there additional information you'd like to add? Or I see somebody behind you there.
This, Mr. Hearing Examiner, this is Marcus Foster on behalf of the county. I've just been brought in on this because signed this morning is about a half inch of documents that were dumped on us from the petitioner in this case, and or the appellant in this case. And I'm gonna have to object to this going forward at this point. We have not had a chance to review any of these documents. We don't even know what they are. And so I'm gonna have to ask that the hearing be continued for such time as necessary to respond to this.
All right, I didn't realize how large the information that was sent today was. Given that, Mr. Hitchcock, do you have any objection to continuing this matter to allow the county to review and digest and respond to the information that was sent, at least to me, at 9:02 this morning? Oops, you need to unmute yourself.
Mr. Hearing Examiner, we do not object to a continuance. However, under the Hearing Examiner's Rules of Procedure, and if you give me 1 second, I can pull up the citation. The submission of evidence up to the day of the hearing is allowed.
Yeah, I regularly will allow, I don't generally disallow the introduction of documents, but I think the remedy for that is a continuance.
Certainly.
To give, sometimes it's the county that submits documents, sometimes it's the applicant, sometimes it's a member of the public, an opposition group or such as may be. So anyway, I generally allow the introduction of those documents, but then would grant a continuance.
Certainly. We do not object to a continuance.
So Mr. Foster or Ms. Riles, if we continued this matter to take up again with the county's response on February 2nd, would that give you enough time to review and to respond?
Yeah, I think it would, Mr. Hearing Examiner. I don't know if we'll have any briefing or anything on it, but at least an opportunity to review all this and have at least an oral response to it would be appreciated. So February should be fine.
All right. Mr. Hitchcock, are you available on February 2nd as well?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, so what we're gonna do then is I'm gonna continue this hearing to reopen on February 2nd, 2022. I think that is a 9 a.m. start. And so what we'll start with is I will have an opportunity to have reviewed the documents as well. We'll have the county's response to those documents and to Mr. Latta's testimony stated in the declaration, and then we'll give the appellant an opportunity to submit whatever rebuttal information that they wish to make. If the county is going to submit any written documentation, hopefully that can be done before February 2nd to give the appellant an opportunity to review it and make whatever response they wish to make so that there's not a need for another continuance. So this matter is continued until February 2nd, 2022. Any questions, Mr. Hitchcock, before I adjourn the hearing?
No, sir, we do not have any questions.
All right, either Ms. Riles or Mr. Foster, any questions before we adjourn the hearing?
No questions here.
All right, thank you very much. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to adjourn this January 5th, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. I thank everybody for appearing and have a safe week. We're getting a lot of snow, especially for you folks up in Leavenworth. So everybody be safe. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.